Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around, whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Kunle put people at the heart of everything they create.
The way that I approach work post-fatherhood has really been trying to understand the generation that we're building devices for. Here at the Comcast family, we're building an integrated in-home Wi-Fi solution for millions of families like my own.
Now millions of families can work, learn, and play together under one roof. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
You want to go in and with the mindset of, I'm going to get better today. I'm going to get 1% better today, no matter what I do, whether it's, you know, weightlifting, whether it's my throwing program.
What's up, everyone? It's Baseball America Hot Sheet. It is J.J. Cooper and Peter Flaherty from Baseball America. I'm Scott Braun. Make sure you get yourself a little Baseball America subscription, especially for the holidays. Get after it. If you're looking at some of the content for Baseball America and you want it all, go for it, okay? So JJ and Peter, we have a super busy show. We have a guest coming up in probably about 7-8 minutes, but let's get back to school. Last Wednesday, National Signing Day. Peter, it's a lot more interesting these days in my mind as a more casual observer to talk about National Signing Day with the way college baseball works. So would you like to run through your top 10 recruiting classes and some specifics?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to start at the top. And I think any viewer will get an overall theme of the class by just looking at the graphic. There's a serious SEC flair to it. But at the top, LSU's leading the way. They had the number two recruiting class in 24. They have the initial top class for 25. And it's really deep, top to bottom. They've got a dozen recruits who rank inside our high school top 100 rankings. The physical infielder, Brady Ebel, who's on the graphic, is the headliner of the class. And so is offensive force, Dean Moss. I really liked what I saw from Moss down in Jupiter. He's a really explosive athlete. You're buying the offense with him, but it's an impressive hit-power combination. And then looking further into the class, you've got nephew, former big leaguers, Delman and Dimitri Young, Quentin Young. He's got plenty of bat speed and raw power. And then on the mound, the ultra physical New York right-hander, Miguel Cime. He's got a big time arm, tons of arm strength. He was up to 100 over the summer. And I mean, we could talk through 12, 13, 14 LSU guys and just have the Hot Sheet show be the LSU recruiting class show, but maybe for another time. But looking further down the board, like everyone in the top 10 and even outside of it has put together solid classes. And I think it's important to keep in mind that it's going to change as we, you know, get further into the cycle. There are a couple of big time uncommitted names still on the board and Cruz Schoolcraft, Jaden Fausk. Those are kind of the two big ones to watch, and they could shuffle the rankings depending on where they commit. And then also the draft, like as, you know, we flip the page suddenly from 2025 and looking way ahead to the 2026 season. It's still up in the air as to who's going to end up on campus, who's going to get popped. So it's a good initial look, but stuff will change.
Peter, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about is seeing Vandy up there. Now, if you're just a casual fan watching this, you may go, well, yeah, Vandy being at the top of the recruiting rankings, no big deal. But I kind of would look at that and say that that also is a sign of strength here, because Vandy's probably had a little bit more trouble, I would say. You know, obviously transfer portal is not exactly the same for them, but also NIL, there's been a kind of a number of things that have kind of been headwinds working against them. What's kind of going on with Vandy, and was it, as you did the reporting, were you surprised to see them have as strong a class as they did?
I knew that they would have a solid class. And as we saw the commits continue to roll in, it was becoming increasingly more impressive. To have them net the number three class, at least initially, I think is a major win. I think for any high school prospect, a high-end high school prospect, Vanderbilt isn't all too hard of a sell. I mean, you have elite academics, you have an elite baseball program. Nashville's a great location. It's a really appealing package. So I think that they're also the beneficiary of having two headliners at the top. Seth Hernandez is the best prep pitcher, potentially, you know, you could make the argument that he's the best pitcher in the entire draft. I would still take one of the two college arms, but Hernandez can go toe-to-toe with either Jamie Arnold or Tyler Bremner. He's been up to 98. He's got a plus changeup and a quality curveball. Sean Gamble has loud now tools with upside to boot. And then I got a really good look down in Jupiter at outfielder Slater DeBron. He's a high-energy, bouncy leadoff player with present physicality, loud tools right now. And I think that a lot of the credit goes to newly minted recruiting coordinator Ty Blankmeyer, who made the jump from Duke to Vanderbilt. And I think that while the class started to take shape while he was still at Duke, we've seen him flex his recruiting chops both at Duke during his time there and putting together great recruiting classes, and then also even in some of the underclass commits that they've netted. And I think with Coach Blankmeyer, you know, he's an outstanding recruiter, as we've mentioned, and I think that it's a matter of when and not if that he's going to be the head coach at a major Power 5 school.
The other thing, keeping it in the state of Tennessee, but the national champs, the defending national champs, kind of expected them to do a lot, but they kind of had a surprise on signing day, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like with Tennessee, all they do is win. Whether it's last year they won their first ever national championship, they won 60 games, they've got a top five recruiting class in the class of 2025, they got flips from Billy Carlson and Cameron Appenzeller, but then also, as you said, on signing day, they got a nice little extra stocking stuffer, I guess you could call it, with Steele Hall, formerly a 2026 shortstop who announced his intention to reclass to the class of 2025. And that's a really exciting talent to add to the 2025 class, and a high-end one at that. He's got good actions and good body control over at shortstop where he's got a chance to stick. He's got strong hands and bat speed at the plate. He's another one who performed well down in Jupiter. I think he went 3-for-9 with the stacked USA Prime and Tiger Scout team. I got a good look at him. And so, I mean, like I said at the start, the wins just keep coming for the Vols, and it's another standout class.
Okay, so I do want to ask you to kind of shift it from the SEC. What's a non-SEC class that really stood out to you?
Yeah, I think non-SEC, it gets a little challenging, but in the Atlantic Coast Conference, Virginia and Wake Forest, they put together, I'd say, really strong classes with UVA. You know, it's pitching heavy. Aaron Watson is a name to watch. He's been up to 96 and he's got feel for his four pitch mix. Aiden Stillman, who's a southpaw, he's got plenty of projection left, but he's already been up to 95 from the left side. So those are two standout arms to watch. With Wake Forest, they especially recently have taken that jump from, I'd say, like above average program to teetering on elite and consistently in contention to go to the College World Series. It also starts on the mound with the Deacs, and I think that's an encouraging sign for Wake fans, is just given their aptitude with pitching development. Right-handers Josh Hammond and Marcelo Harsh. Hammond moves really well. He's a dynamic mover on the mound. He's been up to 95 with life at the top of the zone. His slider will flash sharp and tight horizontal break, and it's already a bat misser. It's got plus potential. Harsh, I'd say in the Northeast, he is a high school prospect who has a big fat up arrow next to his name. He's gotten tons of buzz. He's ultra projectable. He's already been up to 93, but it's easy to envision the fastball taking that jump into the mid to upper 90s. But his best pitch right now is a low to mid 80s slider. It'll flash two plane tilt and already gets tons of swings and misses. So SEC heavy at the top, Virginia, Wake, and other programs falling close behind.
Well, Peter, this was awesome. Thank you for getting us caught up on signing day. Appreciate the time, and we'll get you on again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, Peter Flaherty from Baseball America. Now let's bring in BA's Jeff Ponce, a regular on Hot Sheet here, and he's going to help us out with our interview coming up right now with Rockies prospect Chase Ellender. It is National League West week, so let's talk to Chase, and Peter's in for it too. Chase, great to see you, and a smile. How's everything going for you this offseason, man?
Everything's going great, man. Can't complain. It's been a good offseason so far.
I don't know if you caught anything in the green room too. Sorry, JJ, and then you follow me, but I mean, obviously we're talking about signing day. Are you still following, you know, Tennessee pretty closely these days?
not as closely as I would like to. Obviously I have a lot going on myself, but I hear really good things and I'm really excited to watch them this year.
I was just going to ask you the same thing. Like, what was it like for you to see some of your old teammates and all get to dogpile in Omaha?
I'm going to be honest, it was a little bittersweet, just because I wish I was out there doing it with them. But I was really happy for those guys, and it's really happy for the coaching staff too, just because of all the work that they have put in over the years since they got there, and they deserve it as much as anybody else. So it was really awesome to see.
Chase, before we dive into some of your, you know, season and what you're up to, I got one more teammate wise. So were you paying attention to the 2024 draft and who a teammate of yours could be, you know, for a long time in the organization?
Yeah. It was a really good draft. I feel like the Rockies had a really, really good draft, in my opinion. I've talked to a few of the guys that have gotten drafted by them, and it seems like we're putting pieces in the right spot. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Hey, Chase, Jeff Ponce here. Wanted to catch back up with you. Saw you a couple times toward down the stretch here in Hartford. Pitched really well once you got up to Double A. It felt like you took a big step forward in terms of your fastball quality coming into this year. Kind of was, you know, harkening back to that pitch that we saw your sophomore year at Tennessee. But I thought just from a pitchability standpoint and an efficiency standpoint as a starter, you were getting deeper into starts in Double A, using less pitches per inning, that sort of thing. So talk to me about the progression that you've really made as a pitcher over the last year.
Yeah, so I mean, going into this past year, my first full season in the minor leagues, my focus was just get in the zone as much as possible. I know if I'm in the zone, it's going to be really hard for people to put bat on ball. So it was just a matter of trusting my stuff and throwing it in the zone as much as possible. See how fast I can get to two strikes. See how fast I can get people out. Me and Dan Meyer, the pitching coach in Hartford, talked a lot about getting people out in four pitches or less, so I can go into games longer and, you know, pitch more and run that inning count up. So I felt like I was able to do that once I kind of shifted the focus between, oh snap, like I don't want these guys to hit me, to, you know what, screw it, like I'm gonna throw my stuff down the middle and you're not gonna be able to hit it. So as soon as I got a Double A, I think that kind of mindset switched a little bit. I had a lot of success with it. So I'm looking forward to carrying that out.
Yeah, go for it, JJ, or I can bring it up.
I thought you went to tee that up. Yeah, we got a question from a watcher. Just wondering if you work on a different pitch, Mitch, I'm sure you're headed to Colorado. What is the altitude factor? Does that affect you in any way, kind of how you prepare for your time in the majors, or do you not worry about that until you get to Denver?
You know, that's a question that I've gotten a lot. So I don't really pay attention to all that. I just pitch my game and pitch where my pitches are going to play. Obviously, like you said, the altitude is going to affect it in some way. What way? I don't know. I haven't been up there yet. So that adjustment will come once I get there, but I'm just going to keep the same mindset and keep the same focus and pitch with what I have and throw it down the middle and see if you can hit it. Hitting is already as hard as it is, so if I can make it a little difficult by getting ahead in counts and putting pressure on hitters, I'll have some success.
I kind of wanted to take it back a little bit. I'm from Georgia originally. I've been to, you know, been to Evans, many, many years ago and all that. But when you were coming up, did this all seem obtainable to you? Like, or did it kind of, was it something where you had to get to college that first year at Georgia Southern to kind of realize that, hey, all this is possible. All this is not just a dream, but kind of something that really you had the potential to do. Did it, you know, it felt like you weren't a late bloomer, but it was something where it felt like you just steadily got better and better and better.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it's always been a dream of mine to play professional baseball. When I was in high school, and I would say my freshman year, and I was like, you know, like, let's just see where this kind of takes me. But once I got to my junior year and I started throwing a little harder, and I kept throwing harder and harder and harder, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I can make this into something. So once I got to Georgia Southern, I kind of saw my velo increase a little bit more, and I started to become a lot more efficient in my movement pattern and stuff. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. Like, it's this or nothing else. And that's just kind of been my mindset ever since. And it's paid off a lot for me. I got drafted at my junior year, so I didn't finish college. But you know, like I said, it's just one of those things where like I put all my eggs in one basket, and I'm gonna see what I'm made of, and I plan on playing this game until my body falls apart. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, hopefully that's for a very long time exactly. In the future. But that being said, you know, talking a little bit, you know, Georgia Southern, you were kind of part of that first wave, you know, in terms of like the transfer market, we can call it, and, you know, all that's become NIL and all that. What was that process like? Were there any other schools in the mix besides Tennessee? And ultimately, why'd you end up there?
Yeah, I mean, that process was very hectic. I remember entering the portal, and I think it was like 9:30 on a Monday, my name went in, and I immediately got phone calls, and I was like, what's going on? Because I never got that in high school. I got two calls from College of Charleston and Georgia Southern, and those were my only two offers out of high school. So I never got the big recruiting craze or the big, you know, hype out of high school and things like that. So it was kind of cool to see. But to answer your question, it came down to, for me, it was Arkansas, Tennessee, and there was a third one, but I can't remember. Oh, Texas Tech. It was between those three guys, and I ended up choosing Tennessee just because of the relationship that the coaches have with one another, and I knew that I was going to go in with a bunch of like-minded people trying to make it to professional baseball, and that's kind of what I wanted to be around. And, you know, I was around a bunch of first-rounders, a bunch of guys that end up in the big leagues one day, a bunch of, in my opinion, Hall of Famers that are going to strive to make really good improvements and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun to play there.
When creating your own business, the most important part is your ideas. So why let the headache of registering your business hold those ideas back? It's time to learn about a great idea that will keep you going and growing, LegalZoom. LegalZoom has everything you need to launch, run, and protect your business all in one place. Setting up your business properly and remaining compliant are things you want to get right from the get-go, but you don't have to strain your brain or wallet. LegalZoom saves you from wasting hours making sense of the legal stuff. At LegalZoom.com, you can take care of business legal needs in just a few clicks. And if you need some hands-on help, their network of experienced attorneys from around the country has your back. Over the last 20 years, LegalZoom helped start, run, and protect millions of businesses. LegalZoom, now you're in business. Launch, run, and protect your business to make it official today at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL to get 10% off any LegalZoom business formation product, excluding subscriptions and renewals. Expires 12/31/24. Get everything you need from setup to success at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. Disclaimer, LegalZoom provides access to independent attorneys and self-service tools. LegalZoom is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice except where authorized through its subsidiary law firm, LZ Legal Services, LLC.
No team wins the World Series without having great teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for customized, affordable life insurance. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safe. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work with carriers that get you same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you may think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to selectquote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote, they shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less at selectquote.com/BA. Go to selectquote.com/BA today to get started. That's selectquote.com/BA.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
And now, you know, back to the minors for a moment. Chase, best person you've faced or somebody that stands out? And you can throw multiple names out there too. This question has done well. You know, the prospects we bring on often are the best scouts.
Yeah. Man, that's a hard one. Just because I'm going to be honest, like, I don't really remember. This season's been a blur for me. I would say really everybody at the Futures game when I pitched was a really cool at bat. Spencer Jones obviously is a really good guy to look at. I faced Max Clark. He was fun to pitch against. Who else did I pitch? Justin Crawford with the Phillies.
Yeah.
He was pitch against. Dude, there were so many people that I could keep naming off on and on and on. But I mean, like you said, in Double A and the Eastern League, there's a lot of talent in that league. So, I mean, it's tough to just nail down one person.
So we got another fan question here, and you talked about it a little bit, but yeah. So how are you a different pitcher now than you were coming out of college?
I wouldn't really say I'm a different pitcher. I would say my mindset has switched a little bit. My sophomore year, obviously, it was really, really good. And then my junior year, I kind of regressed a little bit. But I would say between my junior year and my first year in the minor leagues, it was a switch of mindset. It was a switch of I can't mess this up to I don't care what happens, I'm going to throw this down the middle. I just became less scared. I wasn't scared to make a mistake. I wasn't scared to, oh no, what are the scouts going to say about me? I don't care about that, none of that anymore. Like my junior year, I will say I got a little caught up in the stuff that happened outside of baseball, outside of, you know, things that I couldn't control. But I started working with a mental strength coach, and, you know, he really helped me switch my mindset to things I can control, which is, you know, be one pitch at a time and really focus on executing and being the best pitcher I can be.
And I want to follow up another one here. This is not a fan question. This is one of our staff, Carlos, who covered in the draft and all. But I kind of want to ask with that, what are the adjustments? I was going to say the schedule, but you've got a lot of times on 7 days rest so far in pro ball. So is that been a big adjustment, or what's been the biggest adjustment? What, besides the mindset of understanding, like, hey, I'm going to trust my stuff. How, you know, kind of off the field training, all that. How is it different in pro ball?
I'll say that you play 6 games a week, so it's very tough to stay locked in every single day and go into the field knowing that if I don't do my work, like, I'm going to be behind in the tie, whatever. You want to go in and with the mindset of I'm going to get better today. I'm going to get 1% better today, no matter what I do, whether it's, you know, weightlifting, whether it's my throwing program, whether it's, you know, getting in that training room and seeing the trainer and getting worked on, you know, I'm going to get 1% better every single day. And if you have that mindset, you're going to have a lot of success. You're going to be able to stay locked in. What I found to be super helpful was to fall in love with the boring stuff. So, like, fall in love with arm care, fall in love with seeing the trainer, fall in love with doing hot cold tubs or being in the sauna, or, you know, fall in love with lifting. You have to be able to look at the small things and be like, I want to do that because I know that that's what's going to take. And that's what's going to take for me to keep progressing in the minor leagues.
Before we let you go, I had a quick question here. Anything that you're working on in the off season, any new pitches, anything you're trying to add to the repertoire or improve within the game? Have you come up with sort of your off season plan thus far?
It's pretty early in the off season still, so I haven't really gotten to all that. I think once we start throwing bullpens, we'll kind of look and see where I am. But for me, it's going to be consistency, number one. Consistency in the shapes of my off speed. I felt like my curveball and my fastball were really consistent, but my slider and changeup this season were kind of iffy at times. Like, I kind of noticed I was throwing 3 different sliders at one point. It was like a cutter, a true slider, and like a gyro. So it was like, you know, what shape do I want? What shape works best for me and my arm slot and my repertoire? So, like, I would say being super consistent and finding ways to be able to do that. I think in my mechanics is going to be a lot with the upper body, like not being hunched over and just staying tall and staying true and just simplifying everything really is what's going to help me.
Chase, before I let it run, got to ask you also about what's right behind you there. You know, I That's from my age of, you know, yeah. I couldn't see the number, but I don't have to ask. I know that's a Nolan Ryan jersey behind me.
Yeah. So
tell us the story about that. Like, you see, you know, a little bit before your time, but it's a great guy to try to emulate.
You know, I wish I could take credit for this, but this is my house. So this is the guy I work out with, Shane McClanahan. He's been a huge help to me. He's been like my mentor. I owe a lot to him. But he, you know, this is his house. He has a bunch of jerseys around, and it's really cool just kind of be around him and be around, you know, what it is to be successful. And, you know, I kind of look around at these. He has a Cal Ripken. He has a Clayton Kershaw right there. He has more upstairs, and it's awesome just kind of see the stuff that he has and the memorabilia and things like that. I'm like, dang, I kind of want that, you know, so, you know, for my future house, this is probably what's going to be in it. So.
That's awesome. And that leads to then my last. So how much time are you spending with him? What are you learning from Shane McClanahan? Because, yeah, that is a guy that this group knows, of course, and obviously the audience that's watching and all that. And I don't know how many people are aware of the, you know, off-season connections that certain players have, how that even came about.
Yeah, so we have the same agent. We're in the same agency. So I actually recently moved down to Tampa, and that's where he lives. So we live together every single day. I'm with him a lot, so him and I have gotten really, really close. I kind of see him as a older brother, kind of slash father figure, I guess you could say. Just kind of, you know, showing me what it's like to be in the big leagues and showing me what the lifestyle is like, and just kind of, you know, helping me along the way and keeping my mind right with, you know, what to focus on, what not to focus on, you know. But yeah, him and I have gotten really, really close. You know, like I said, I owe a lot to him with my, you know, mindset, with just helping me out, like with the ins and outs of baseball and what professional baseball is like and things like that. I mean, he's a great human being, and, you know, I'm really happy to know him.
That's awesome. I mean, that is huge to be able to have that connection in the off season too.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's helped me so much. It's actually great. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's had a lot of success. Obviously, he's gone through the injuries too, but he's had a lot of success in the bigs so far when he's been on the mound. So that's really cool. Well, Chase, thanks for the time, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, this year's for him is going to be a lot of fun seeing him come back. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. He was thriving. This is should be a perennial Cy Young contender in our game for a while. So pretty cool to be able to have him as a workout partner in the offseason. Love that. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, you got a good one, Chase. You're an awesome interview. Seriously mean that. We don't say that to everyone. Thanks for the time. Yeah, you're really well-spoken, so keep that up too. That really helps for everyone to get to know you and all that, because fans watch and listen and everything. So thanks for the time. Enjoy the off-season, the time in Tampa, and then we'll see you in spring training, okay?
Appreciate it, guys. Nice to meet you all.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much. Chase Donaldson joining us on Baseball America Hot Sheet. That's great. And of course, just a reminder to everyone to make sure that they check out everything going on this week in terms of the NL West. And JJ, if you want to give that a little bit more of a pop. Jeff looks like he's got something to follow with as well, but JJ, start.
I'll tee up Jeff on this, which is,
okay,
we're rolling out Rockies this week. So Jeff, you can give it away. Who's our number? You got Chase Dolander, you got Charlie Condon. Who's our number one prospect in the Rockies?
It is Chase Dolander. So he is going to remain the number one prospect in the Rockies system, which is a very talented top 10. It's a talented system. A lot of players, I think, once we get into the top 30s, we get into the full handbook season. Some new names for readers out there, for fantasy players that are going to be looking for whoever they can beat on their waiver wire to whoever the hot name is coming over from the DSL. But really talented system, but Dolander ends up reigning supreme. I think some of the concerns regarding Charlie Condon's hitting post-drafts, some of the workouts, where he ends up defensively. There was some talk. There was a hand injury he was dealing with as well. But I just think when you look at the dominance of what Dolander did this season, and we can't forget, this was a guy that, you know, a couple years ago was considered the number one pitching prospect heading into that draft. And then, of course, Paul Skeens became what we know now as Paul Skeens and surpassed him, but was, you know, a very highly touted college pitching prospect in his own right. And I think he's followed through on that. He took a big step forward as a pro, and just, you know, chatted with him a little bit about, you know, what he's doing this offseason. And I have, you know, confidence that he'll be able to take that next step forward. Of course, the issue is, you know, he does have to pitch in Colorado, which is probably the worst place you can pitch besides the moon.
Hey, he said, just don't think about it. Just be me.
But I like that.
Easier said than done. Yeah, it's good mentality. You got to think that way.
It's going to be him.
Exactly. You got to think that way when you're young and you're a prospect. Okay, so lastly, we've got the 40-man roster non-tender deadline tomorrow. So for people to know, that plays into the Rule 5 draft. JJ's looking at his chops. This is fun. This is in-depth, granular roster movement kind of activity. But I mean, that name alone or that face alone should stand out, JJ, to tell everyone how valuable this time period could be to find a diamond in the rough.
Exactly. So the non-tender deadline also is the protection deadline for the Rule 5 draft. December 11th, we will have the Rule 5 draft, a day that I kind of enjoy, Jeff enjoys a lot every year. But this is what we're talking about. This is a chance. There are not many chances during the season, but this is a chance for teams to essentially get free talent. So it's designed to kind of, baseball is socialist in a way. Can't fit a guy on the 40-man roster, 2020 high school and international signings, and 2021 college draftees. Those are the guys who are first-year eligibles this year. We've got a guy from the 2021 college draft, 2020 high school draft, who's not added to the 40-man roster, is freely available for all 29 other teams to take him, spend $100,000, add him to the 40-man, and keep him in the big leagues all next year. A lot of times those guys don't work out, but every now and then they do. Anthony Santander, Josh Hamilton, Joaquin Soria, you know, Johan Santana, who, you know, there are guys who've really ended up popping. We have a 21st century All-Rule 5 team. Mitch Spence, by the way, who really was good for the A's last year. That was to get a starting pitcher who steps into your rotation. We're going to see who gets protected tomorrow. We'll analyze it all at baseballamerica.com, and we will then start rolling out the names who were left off. Our Rule 5 previews will start tomorrow as well at baseballamerica.com.
Hey, there's good names with good careers on that list. And then there's also still some fresh names. Tommy Canley was a big factor in the playoffs for the Yankees. Trevor Stephens, a really good reliever who was out for this season with Cleveland, but should be back to one of the best bullpens in baseball. And that's a lot of good pitchers on that list. And obviously we talked about some of the historically, you know, really strong picks on the position player side. I always remember Dan Uggla watching, you know, for a period of life, a lot of Marlins games because I was in South Florida for a point of life, and Uggla would come up. You'd always hear it. Yeah, you'd be like, hey, here's 40 homer pop, Rule 5. And I was like, what the heck's that? And then you learn about it. So it was cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, look out for all of that. And then lastly, again, just a reminder to everyone to make sure you check out the NL West Top 10s rolling out this week. Tomorrow's Rockies, Wednesday Dodgers, Thursday Diamondbacks, and lastly, a question here. That's a great way to finish. Good question, Jimmy. Any thoughts on tonight's Rookies of the Year, JJ, and then Jeff can follow, and then we'll say goodbye.
I did not have a Rookie of the Year vote this year, so I can talk about this. You know, I'm not embargoed on this. To me, it's Skeens. Jackson Merrill, great season. Jackson Churio, great season. But Paul Skeens, I just think that the degree of difficulty was even a little bit higher. Jackson Merrill was one of the better players, position players, in the National League this year, which is an incredible accomplishment, especially for a guy who's moving from shortstop to center field. Paul Skeens is going to be, you know, he's getting Cy Young votes. Paul Skeens was absolutely slam dunk one of the best starting pitchers in the National League this year. I think that's just a higher degree of difficulty to do what he did. So to me, it's Skeens, but I also understand Merrill had an incredible year as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the most interesting conversation is obviously on the NL side. I think the odds on favorite at this point, just looking at some of the odds that are out there, it's Skeens over Merrill, though, you know, it was a historical NL rookie class. On the AL side, it looks like the odds on favorite is Louis Heel, followed by Colton Cowser, and then a Yankee teammate of Heel's in Austin Wells. I think that one is a little bit more up for grabs. I don't know how the votes will end up being split, but not as impactful, but probably a little bit closer group that, you know, it's anybody's guess on the AL side. But
that's a wide open one to me.
Yeah,
like I make the case for any of those three. And I'd say that partly because I don't think any of them have a slam dunk case. No. You can poke holes at all of them, and you can also make the argument for all three of the finalists.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The finalist. Right. Finalist, it's not really, it's the three, the final three that we know will, one of the three will win it.
Yeah, for some unaware. It's not like we get to three, then we revote or something like that. They just do the vote. They unveil it. It's just a more flashy, you know, TV media friendly way to do it. So we'll find out who wins AL, NL, and we could talk about it if there's any controversy next time around on Hot Sheet. If you're listening pod-wise, please leave a rating and review. Be nice. Holiday season soon. That'd be cool. And then subscribe to Baseball America. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you're checking out those top 10s. NL East and NL Central have already been accomplished. We'll get to the American League side very soon on Hot Sheet, and we'll see you next week.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.